ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to ShareCare Radio. It's Dr. Daria. I'm going to dive into health news of the week, but remember, if there's any segments you missed today that you wanted to catch up on or just hear them again, you can go to iHeartRadio and RadioMD.com, where you can download them or stream them on demand. All of our segments today, and that's the same for every week, so be sure to catch them there. Now, diving in, there were two recent studies that I found especially concerning, especially as we're going into summer. And that first one was that melanoma rates of skin cancers have doubled in the past 30 years, according to the CDC. Now, melanoma is the deadliest form of skin cancer. And again, it's doubled over the past three decades, increasing from 11 cases per 100,000 in 1982 to 22 in 2011. Now, remember, melanoma is the cause of more than 9,000 skin cancer deaths in the U.S. every year. And annual costs of treating new melanoma cases reached $457 million in 2011. So at the current rates, we would expect that to be around $1.6 billion by 2030. So again, according to health experts and most physicians we'll talk to, more than 90% of melanoma skin cancers are due to UV radiation exposure from the sun. Which brings us to the second study, and that was about looking at melanoma in children and young adults. Now, this is especially scary because researchers reported that rates of melanoma in kids and young adults have increased by 250%, more than doubled since the 1970s. They wrote that said that young women account for 2/3 of the cases diagnosed in 2011, and melanoma is the third most common cancer in 15 to 39-year-olds. You know, fortunately, survival rates are on the rise as we have better and better treatments and are catching them. But, you know, this is extremely scary, and there's many people who are getting melanoma at younger and younger ages. Now, the researchers think that the rise in melanoma in young women, one of the main drivers is unsafe tanning practices. And data also show that exposure as a child or young adult to the sun and high amounts of UV radiation can raise your risk of melanoma even more than later in life. So sun exposure as a child is really an especially susceptible time as you're growing and your skin is just exceptionally vulnerable to the exposure to UV. Now, again, nearly 90% of melanomas are considered preventable. Prevention is crucial. We can affect this, and we really can change this trajectory and keep it from rising and keep it from doubling in 20 years from now. So what do you do? Number one, broad spectrum sunscreen. We had a great segment a couple of weeks ago with Dr. Amy Kim talking about this. Broad spectrum sunscreen, usually SPF 30 to 50 is recommended. You have to reapply every 1.5 to 2 hours, no matter if it's SPF 1000. It doesn't matter. You still have to reapply every 1.5 to 2 hours. Also, wear protective clothing. Wear hats, other things that can give you the extra protection factor. You can look for clothing that has UPF, and that's going to help you know what if it gives you additional sun protection factor. And avoid sunburns. Now, severe sunburns, especially during childhood, increase the risk of developing melanoma. Just one blistering sunburn as a child can double your chances of melanoma later in life. Of course, no tanning. I tell everybody, really nobody should be doing these indoor tanning beds anymore, but it's especially important to children and teens. And that's why we're seeing the rates of melanoma rise in young girls, because they are still tanning. So to everybody, spray tans, there are so many options, especially now that we know the dangers of tanning beds. So remember, melanoma increasing in both children, young adults, and all adults. And so we're working on better treatments, but everybody can prevent this in their own life, in their own family, by using good sun protection measures. Now, I'll get off my soapbox for UV protection and to talk about our next article. And that was on breastfed children and the risk of leukemia. So this is a new study. It suggests that children who are breastfed as infants have a lower risk of developing leukemia as a child. Now, the study looked at children who were breastfed for at least 6 months and said they were associated with a 19% lower risk of leukemia compared with those who were not breastfed at all or are breastfed for shorter periods of time. Now, there's still good news for people who were breastfed for shorter periods of time. They still have an 11% reduced risk for leukemia. not the same as 19%, but still a reduction. Now, the exact method and mechanism is really not clear. You know, other studies have shown the beneficial effects of breastfeeding, and that can range from fewer infections and allergies, lower rates of obesity, and more advanced intellectual development. Not clear why, they hypothesize that possibly the mother's milk may contain some stem cells which have some protective effects. We don't for sure know, but we do know that there seems to be multiple health benefits for children who are exclusively breastfed for at least 6 months, which is what the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends. And also for those who are unable to maintain 6 months or longer, there's a benefit to any amount of breastfeeding you can do. So what American Academy of Pediatrics says is maintain it as long as you can, aim for at least 6 months, and no matter what, it will be beneficial to the child. Now, this next study is steering away from babies and something that's affecting all of us, and that's about the widespread use of antibiotics and consequences of that. Now, high use of antibiotics has given rise to an antibiotic-resistant strain of a bacteria called Clostridium difficile, or C. difficile, you may have heard. Now, that causes approximately 500,000 new cases and 30,000 deaths a year in the United States. Now, as an ER doctor, I see this bug a lot in many patients because they've been on multiple antibiotics, especially if they've been especially sick, needing inpatient admissions. And they come in with this infection from C. difficile. Now, it's a bacteria, and it colonizes the large intestine and causes watery diarrhea and severe dehydration. Now, in most people, large amounts of this microorganism can normally reside in the gut to protect against C. difficile. That's our own microbiome that we have to protect against it. But if you get large amounts of antibiotics, they can kill off the good bacteria in your intestine, and that leaves rise to C. difficile taking over and causing that infection. What's the takeaway? Of course, there are times that people need to have antibiotics. They're a wonderful thing. They are life-saving, but it's extremely important to use them judiciously. And also talk to your doctor if you do need to take an antibiotic. Talk to them about potentially using a probiotic along with it to see if that can help maintain your own intestinal microbiome without harming it. It's always a good idea to talk to your doctor, but again, talk to them before you take anything else to combine with it. Now, this next study, getting back to pregnancy and babies, and was talking about the risk that obesity can present to both the pregnant mother as well as to the baby. Now, this study said that women who suffer from obesity have a wide range of increased health risks in pregnancy for both the mother and the baby compared to women who are in the healthy weight category. And of course, as I said, maternal obesity is on the rise, with the prevalence of maternal obesity in women 20 to 39 years of old in the U.S. at 31%. Now, maternal obesity is linked with a variety of bad outcomes for mothers and babies at birth, during pregnancy, and afterwards. It can include gestational diabetes, high blood pressure, depression even, higher levels of C-sections, and even surgical site infections if you do have to get a C-section. And it's also linked to greater risk of preterm birth, fetal defects, congenital abnormalities, and even perinatal death. Researchers also found that maternal obesity is the most significant leading factor in obesity in children. So the mother's body during pregnancy can have a huge impact on the child's body once they're a little bit older. So what's a key takeaway here? Because of the increasing number of pregnant women with obesity, it's crucial that we invest in programs to help them maintain healthy lifestyle, healthy weight, to reduce the risk to those mothers and the babies, keep them as healthy as possible. It's also why it's a really good idea to make sure that before you get pregnant, you're in good shape too, so that your body's really ready and able to handle it. And also, another study talked about the effect of exercise during pregnancy because it can reduce the risk of gestational diabetes again. So again, just pointing out the benefits of maintaining your health before and during pregnancy for both mama and for baby. There you have it, the top health news you'll need to know for the week. For more health news throughout the week, you can follow me on Twitter at my handle at Dr. Daria. Also follow us at ShareCare Inc., hashtag ShareCare Radio. You're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for tuning in and stay well.